Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to mikereinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about staying current in the literature, squatting past parallel, and using modalities for pain relief.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode 11 of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We are here today with some awesome new questions, some great questions from the crowd, as always. Introduce you to everybody as usual. Lenny Macrina, Director of PT here, Champion PT and Performance.
Yes, I am.
I feel like we need all intro catchphrases. That's pretty good. Dry eyes. Dave Tilley, new performance therapist. Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to say
way
that.
Way better than a fantastic Lenny.
Magnificent. I want to get away from physical therapy and say we're performance therapists. But Dave's a new PT here, Champion PT Performance. Joined us on the last episode for his first one. Dominated it too, and he's good. And then, as always, Gabe Morgan from Armstrong here, asking us some fantastic questions. So we're back for episode 11. Before we begin, I've got a very important thing I need from you. Pause this right now. So pause, right? Well, don't pause it yet because I have to ask you something and then pause it. But before you do anything, I need you to go to iTunes. I need you to rate and review this episode or our show or whatever it is here. Those iTunes reviews and ratings are a big deal on iTunes, and they really kind of help get this show a little bit more exposure, so that way we'll keep doing it and we kind of keep impacting multiple people. So far the feedback's been fantastic. All the reviews are awesome. We read those reviews. We want a sincere review from you so that way we can improve this down the road. So by all means, please do that. So now pause it. And we're back. Okay. Thank you so much for that rating and review. That was great. So all right, episode 11, Gabe, what do we got, buddy?
All right, Cindy L's gonna kick us off from Virginia Beach. Cindy asked, please give us your practical tips and methods for keeping up with literature if you are a full-time clinician.
Cindy L, so keeping up with the literature. All right, that's a good one. I think technology has changed that quite a bit. Dave and I were talking about this yesterday with, you know, again, the concept that like a journal article costs $30, which is kind of hilarious. But I think social media has really turned into quite a bit of like a content curation tool for all of us. So, you know, people like myself, I always try to like send out links that I'm reading and things that I find. I write articles about some interesting things like that. But if you just, you know, search around on Twitter, search around on Facebook, and kind of find some people that like to share things like that. You know, there's plenty out there. I think do a good job. I think, you know, that's number one for me. For two is I still use a feed reader, like, you know, an RSS feed reader, which I know is kind of, you know, getting a little bit less exciting. But like I use the app called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, kind of took over when Google Reader shut down. But what you can do is you can subscribe to all the journals that you're interested in, the table of contents. And as a new journal gets published, you get that in that feed and you just kind of check it on your phone, that type of thing. So there's that. And then I'd say the third one I probably do the most is I've set up some custom PubMed searches, so you can either get an email or you can get an RSS feed for that. So I would say those three are a good start. I mean, Dave, you're the young whippersnapper of the team here. Like, are you Snapchatting some literature findings or
not
whatever
yet.
You youngins?
What is Snapchat? Like, I've never heard of that.
You can follow Lenny at Len Mac.
actually do Instagram pictures of new interesting articles that I found.
Last night you did.
I did. Yeah.
That's right. I did notice that. Yeah. So, interesting. So what do you do, Dave?
Social media definitely, I think, is if an article is like new and interesting, enough people read about it and share it around Facebook that you kind of, it pops up. I think along with the stuff you said is like having a network of people, I guess, who are all kind of in the interest of continuing education, but are different areas, right? So like, like Dan Pope's a good friend of mine. He reads a lot of the weightlifting kind of strength conditioning research that's applying to like FAI. I don't see a ton of weightlifters with FAI compared to gymnastics. So like, if something interesting comes up, he'll shoot me a text and be like, hey, did you hear about this new article? Kind of cool. And same thing with all the research that I read, that if I find something interesting, I'll pass it to him. So usually if you have a network of people that are all in continuing education, like you pass some stuff around, like, hey, this is kind of cool, it just came out. So I think it's cool to like sift some of the research to the top. Is I've read like 25 abstracts, maybe two or three I thought were valuable to me, and like that saves somebody else time maybe of sitting through a bunch of them.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think the old-fashioned journal club at work has probably gone away a little bit, but you know, get some people in work that are interested and just spend one lunch, and instead of going to Chick-fil-A or wherever you're going, and just like, you know, sit there, eat lunch, and talk about a couple articles like once a month. And, you know, I always see, you know, our buddy Dan Lorenz in Kansas City. He's always putting pictures of his staff on Journal Club because, you know, Dan thinks that's important. So that's the culture he's created at his clinic, that type of thing. Len, you're our CCCCCCI, right? Is that whatever it is?
Yeah.
Whatever you are with the students.
Critical, concerned, compassionate.
Critical, concerned about students.
What, I know.
Speaking of Dan Lorenz, he owes us ribs.
That's
Kansas
right.
Kansas City beat the Patriots. Just saying.
Wait, no, the Patriots beat
the
Kansas
Patriots,
City.
The Patriots beat Kansas City.
I was like,
and you owe us ribs, Dan.
So, all right. So, well, so Easter egg, if Dan, we'll figure out if Dan watches the show
we'll see,
or
exactly.
listens to the podcast here. We'll expect a tweet in retaliation. But
anywho,
so, Len, as the CCCI, you've done some stuff with universities to help us. What have you done?
Right. So we take students from all over the U.S., and a lot of them, for example, Northwestern University will give us a little thank you, and they give us access to their library, which gives us access to a ton of journal articles. So that's one way that if I do come across something in my searches, that I can then get access to the actual journal through Northwestern's online, journal portal.
Yeah, and, their library.
Their library.
Yeah.
And then, so that's one avenue to get the actual PDF of the file. Personally, for me, I am still sitting, usually it's a Saturday morning after I've done some champion reporting, I'll go in and I'll hit my certain journals that I like to hit, like AJSM, JOSPT, Shoulder and Elbow Surgery, JBJS, Sports Health, what else? I mean, those are the big ones that I typically hit, arthroscopy, you know, there's a bunch of them. And I usually go to the publish ahead of time because I want to know not just what came out, but what is coming out. And I'll, you know, I push those out a ton through my feed, LenMacPT.
So you schedule it.
So I schedule it. So I use an app called Buffer, and I can schedule. I don't want to overwhelm my followers on Twitter with like a ton of stuff because I think it's annoying when people do that. So I'll push out an article maybe a day, one a day, just so people can kind of get it. And if they like it, tremendous. If not, they move on. But I think, you know, that's a great resource, is having people that you trust to push out articles that you're interested in, you know, like myself and like Mike and Dave. I'll take you there.
I think the point I was making about you is more that you schedule it into your week to stay up on the literature.
Yeah.
Not so much to share in it. So like, yeah, we're all busy, right? I mean, everybody's busy. It's just what you put emphasis on. So schedule it. So Gabe, as a student, you have any tips? I mean, you're probably exploring this new.
Yeah, I mean, I use a lot of social media to kind of see what everyone else is reading that I find very inspirational. And
is Lenny inspirational?
I think he's very inspirational.
I like that.
I come in every day, just
perspirational.
Full vigor.
Another thing I do too is I'll subscribe to the table of contents from various research journals, and I can kind of breeze through those to see what's interesting there. And if I find something good, then I'll just read the article or the abstract or whatever it may be, and just continue on. So I kind of schedule it as well.
Nice. So essentially, with the online world now, it's all at your fingertips. You just got to make time to do it. If that's important to you, which it should be, you got to make time to do it. I will throw one other plug in there. Chris Beardsley and Brett Contreras have an amazing resource at strengthandconditioningresearch.com that I'm a subscriber to, that I read every month. I mean, Chris is a madman. I don't know how he does it. So he does a great resource. I'm always kind of sending references, but check that out too. You know, that's somebody now doing all this work for you. So Gabe, what's number two?
Patrick from New York asks, What advice would you give someone trying to perform squats below parallel that has very limited hip internal rotation due to hip retroversion?
All right, so what advice would you give somebody to squat below parallel? Okay, so I'm not a big, hey, you can't do this kind of guy, but, like, you know, the first thing I'd ask is, why are you squatting below parallel? Like, what's the rationale in there? Like, you know, that's popular, right? Like, let's all squat below parallel. The hips on individuals are so different between different people, so unique with, like, our anatomical structure and stuff like that, that you know, assuming that we can all go below parallel is pretty optimistic. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'd say, you know, what's your intent of doing that? If you're just trying to get your quad strong, you can go less deep and just load it more. I mean, you put more weight on the bar if you're going less deep. But, you know, I guess I would throw in there, if you have hip internal rotation, oftentimes we've found that correlates to, like, an anterior pelvic tilt type posture. So if your anterior pelvic tilt is so anteriorly tilted, you're essentially kind of predisposing yourself in a certain amount of hip flexion. Yeah. So when your knee comes up to, like, 45 degrees, if you're so anteriorly tilted, you're kind of really at 90 degrees of hip flexion at the hip joint, you know, just based on, you know, you're excessively positioning your pelvis anteriorly, it just changes that. So it becomes very hard for somebody like that to go super deep because they're impinging on their anatomy. So I would just throw at you is, you got to customize the squat to you and just really think about why you're doing what you're doing. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think there's two kind of things with that. One is the goal. Like, what's your goal? Like, are you just fitness? Do you just want to be healthy? Do you want to kind of work out? Or are you, like, an Olympic weightlifter who's trying to go nationals? Like, different.
Yeah, you're trying to compete, right, and you exactly have to get to a certain depth. Yeah, that's different.
Do you need a butt to grass squat in order to catch low weight in a clean or something like that? Like, totally different. So I guess that's the first thing, is kind of pick your why first. And second is, you have to, like you said, understand that hips are different and, like, your stance is going to be a little bit thrown off. Like, not everyone's going to fit into a perfectly narrow, slightly toed out, only this stance. If you have underlying hip bony changes, like, you might need to be a little bit wider, a little bit more toed out, just because that's the way you're designed. So I think you may be able to get to parallel if you play around with it and it's okay for what your goals are.
Right. Very typical of what we see here.
Yeah.
People trying to do that, and then we have to educate on what your goal is and how to tweak your stance to fit your anatomy. And that's typically what we're doing here.
I think,
like, we want people to do what they want to do, but we want to know why you need to do that. If you don't need to do that, there are other ways around it.
Yeah, there's fun, you know, squatting is fun for you, then that's fine. But, you know, the depth is the issue. But, you know, Len said it really well right there. I mean, you gotta figure out your anatomy there. Now, if you need to do it, then I think you got to address your alignment. You know, you do your alignment as best you can to try to maximize how much hip flexion that you can actually develop, because I think that's what it is. So if you can work on your pelvic alignment there, I think that's what it is. So it's not necessarily a mechanical thing of getting lower in a squat. It might be just kind of working on your pelvic alignment to some extent. So anyway, you know, yeah, give that a shot. See what you think. Gabe,
Right.
Who's next for a question?
So coincidentally, this person's name is Kirk from Kansas.
Wait, what did you say?
Coincidentally,
yeah, that's right. It's like a combination of, like, movie phone. Remember that? Remember that Seinfeld episode? Why don't you just tell me the name of the episode you'd like to see? So that was it's that, and then I think it was the remember that talking
Morgan Freeman in there too.
I like that. Remember the talking baseball game in the 80s where, you know, it's like, beautiful day for a ball game between the Titans and the Jammers.
That's nice. We got anyway. Kirk and Morgan Freeman.
All right, good. All right, Gabe. We love you, buddy. We love you, buddy. Coincidentally, continue.
All right, Kirk from Kansas asks, how often do you use modalities like ultrasound and eStim for pain relief? I'm finishing PTA school and still having a hard time personally believing that they do a ton of good.
All right, so to me, there's two questions here now. So how often do we use modalities? Let's keep it at sound and stim, just to keep this episode quick, for pain relief. And then you're having a hard time believing it. If you're having a hard time believing it, I think you just need to continue to explore the research. If you don't believe it, then it's like somebody just said, like, hey, do this for pain. Okay, yeah, I don't blame you for not believing it. You should explore and see if the efficacy is there for you. But you said specifically for pain relief. So I know the internet likes to put modalities down and stuff like that. I mean, TENS is extremely effective. You know, TENS, e-stim current is extremely effective for pain relief. Now, I mean, it's symptomatic. I mean, we all know that, but it works. You know, you said you have a hard time believing it works. I mean, if I personally, like, you know, had an acute episode of back pain and I couldn't move, I would put that on myself because I want to kind of try to, you know, just break the cycle a little bit and feel a little better for myself. So, yeah, is it symptomatic? Are you treating any underlying pathology? No, but you're certainly help somebody manage their symptoms. So, Len, I mean, you've been a PT now for like 40 years, it seems like.
You're what old, they do in man. Egypt?
So, yeah. Back when I was treating King Tut,
so,
he TENS. No, I mean, we use it. We use it all the time. I think we can hear the laser on in the background right here, but we use laser, we use ultrasound. I know, like, that's like cursed on social media that we use ultrasound, typically in a pulse current. We also do a continuous current. There is research out there. You have to, for all these modalities, there's research that supports it, there's research that refutes it. So you just need to sift through it. But if somebody comes in and specifically asks for it because they've had good results in the past, they're going to be tough. You're going to be a tough therapist trying to educate them why it's not. Oftentimes they'll just go away on you and you won't see them again because you're not doing what they want them to do, what they want you to do. But that doesn't mean you have to tweak your treatments based off what the patient wants. But I think if you fully educate yourself on what's out there in the research on these modalities and try them, because you're going to see people like, huh, that helped me. Placebo? I don't know. But there is research that does show, for example, ultrasound does help with collagen reorganization in the knee. So why not use that if somebody has a sprain? It's like a 5-minute, 7-minute modality that potentially has been shown to help. So to me, it's a win-win for our clients.
Yeah, I think this just started all getting a bad name when insurance companies
Correct.
Started trying to not pay for stuff.
Right.
So they,
yeah.
you know, started to slander a little bit there, you know, that type of thing. I think, you know, there's a use for everything and you can kind of put that together. So, you know, but I don't know, something to think about. So, Gabe, what do we got? Number three.
That was the last one?
That was number
three. Oh, that was three. I knew that. Boom. I knew that. Look at that. Done. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate it. You know, continue to spread the word. We appreciate that. You know, the more we can, you know, get people watching this, then the more, you know, great questions we can answer for everybody to benefit from. So thanks so much. You can ask us questions at MikeReinold.com/podcast. Use the hashtag Twitter Ask Mike Reinold. The Twitter hashtag? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. On Twitter, and we'll find your questions that way too. We'll kind of put them all together. But thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReinold.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReinold.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.